This is The Naked Scientist with me, Ben Valsler, and with the delightful Helen Scales. Very recently, Meera Senthilingam met up with Cardiff University researcher Paul Murphy. Now, he looks at the science of tear composition and the science of blinking. But why do we do it? Why do we blink?
It's good for our eyes because the surface of your eye needs to have moisture on it to keep it, the cells healthy. They add little nutrients to the cells there, they provide oxygen to the eye, and they also provide a nice smooth optical surface, and that helps us see nice and clearly.
So how does this happen when we blink? How is the health of our eye maintained?
Well, there are different parts of the tears. There's a little bit at the bottom which is like a mucus layer, and that comes from little cells in your eye, and they secrete that all the time, and that helps the tears stick to the eye. Then you have a watery bit that comes from a little glands tucked up under your eyelid, and they're secreted just gradually all the time, and that adds the watery bit. So when your eyes are watering, those cells have been squeezed and more water's coming out. And they've also got an oily layer at the top to help two things. They help the tears spread each time we blink, because the blinking squeezes all the tears down, and then they have to spread back out, and that oily layer makes that easier. And they also stop the evaporation. So you want your tears to stay there, and you don't want them to wash away or evaporate away. But that evaporation is actually part of the secret of what we think is going on with blinking. If you keep your eyes open for too long, it hurts. Everyone goes, you know, you can have staring competitions, but that hurts if you keep your eyes open for too long. So you need to blink before that happens, but you don't want to spend your life blinking. So there must be somewhere in the balance in between the two. So if you have evaporation coming off the tears, even with that oily layer there, that's producing temperature change, and maybe a localized temperature change, because the evaporation isn't always equal in the different places it's happening. And we've got a thermal imaging camera.
Actually, yes, so we've got one here with us, and it's playing a recording of one of the visitors here today blinking, and you can see what the temperatures are at all the various regions of the eye.
Yes, that's right. So we're just looking at the temperature of the eye here. We've got hot and cold patches, different colours representing different areas. The central part of the eye, the clear cornea that we're all seeing through, has no blood vessels. That's important. You can't have blood vessels there, otherwise you couldn't see through them. So that bit is actually a little bit colder. It doesn't have the blood supply heating it up. But the tears, they're warmed by the eyelids and also warmed by the body as they're being produced. Each time we blink, that warmed tears are spread back over the eye. And then when you keep your eye open, as you're evaporating the tears slowly, and also over that colder central part, you get this temperature change going on. And these really sensitive corneal nerves can detect that temperature change. And when you've got the right amount of temperature change, cornea says, oh, right, we've got a temperature change going on. That's sent to the blink center in your brain, and we trigger another blink, and the whole thing starts again.
Does the composition of our tear films vary greatly throughout the general public?
Yes. We're all different, aren't we? So we're all the same, but we're all different. From a kind of a overall point of view, we're supposed to blink maybe 10 or 12 times a minute. But equally, some of us blink more, some of us blink less. That's partly due to the tear film. Some of us have better quality tear film, some of us poorer quality tear film. A simple way of looking at that is actually just to take a little tear sample, take it on a glass slide, allow it to dry there for maybe 10 minutes, and it forms this beautiful crystal pattern. You know, when you on the cold winter's morning and you look at the crystals on the windscreen of the car or something like that, it's that kind of a thing that you're looking at. If you've got a properly balanced tear film, you have a beautifully, neatly packed, tight, small little ferning pattern that looks really regular and neat and tidy. But if you start to have an imbalance where maybe there's not enough salt, so there's too much salt, or there's too many proteins, or that mixture's wrong, the pattern changes quite dramatically. And it's a really easy way for us to start judging quality of tear film.
And so I guess then, having looked at this in a patient's eye, would you then be able to tailor eye drops more specifically to what their eye needs exactly?
Yes, that's what's starting to happen. The manufacturers of all these drugs and drops have begun to look at these issues, and now there are quite a number of drops out there. We're still only at the beginning of this, unfortunately. We're still trying to find the correct mixture, and that's what we're hoping our work will do, try and answer some of those questions.
That was Dr. Paul Murphy from Cardiff University explaining the science of tears and blinking to Meera Senthilingam.
Lifting the lab coat on the world's best science. The Naked Scientists.